Valar Morghulis.
Valar Dohaeris.
Riding their dead horses. Hunting with their packs of pale spiders big as hounds. It's your host, Sir Duncan the Fearsome. And Lady Rachel of House Fox. You're listening to Game of Microphones.
Well met, brutalized blood riders and wildling whites, and welcome to Game of Microphones. I'm Lord Sterling, Sir Duncan the Fearsome. We've got a special episode for you today featuring a guest who acted in the most recent episode of Game of Thrones, The Long Night. You may also know him from being on Vikings for 6 years. All right, we'd like to welcome to the show today John Fay, a battle survivor, or maybe not survivor, but a veteran.
A battle survivor, a dyer, and a beast survivor, I suppose. I make it past, I make it to the end.
Oh, that's epic, man. Congratulations for nailing that gig. How cool is that, dude?
That was cool. I was meant to go up, I think since season 3 or 4. Like, I was getting calls, you know, to go up and be on Game of Thrones.
But
I was busy, just too busy with Vikings. I just didn't have the time. Oh, Vikings were very good because I was in Vikings like week after week. So
That's so cool.
So I kind of went, I put Game of Thrones on the back burner, you know. Final season came, I got the call. I went, I have to go for the final season.
Yeah.
You know? Just to be on it or whatever. So, yeah, I went, done it. Yeah.
That's the greatest.
Straight in the. The Long Night.
Oh my God. Jumping right into the thick of it.
I'm used to battles from Vikings. Actually, they love the Vikings guys up there.
They
all went up, they were all, you know, battle hardened, I suppose.
Playing wildlings as well?
Yeah. Actually, most of the Vikings are all wildlings. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Some Black Watch and this, that, and the other, but yeah.
Nice.
Mostly wildlings are the Vikings from down below.
So you've been on Vikings for a while now, huh? How long has it been? Jeez, wow, that's amazing. You were on
day one of season one.
Wow. So you're the good old days with Ragnar too. I got to catch up. I'm a little behind on Vikings, but I love that show. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah,
so what was it like walking on set for the first day, joining Game of Thrones and being there and seeing, like, what did you see? What was happening the first day you got there?
First day, we got a boot camp just to make sure everyone, you know, was in order, new. Because there's on Game of Thrones, there's a lot of toiling, which is because there's only so many, couple of hundred people. They want to make it look like thousands. So they get about 50 people in a row and then front line to the back, move, and, you know, keep, that's called toiling.
Oh,
you know,
take a few steps back, take a few steps back.
Yeah. You know, the front row goes to the back, so it's not the front row anymore.
Right. So you don't see them repeat for a number of rows.
Exactly.
So the front row hides it.
Of 1,000 people is, it's all different people, you know.
That's amazing.
So we were getting boot camped in that, you know, toiling, and then how to fight and how to act like a white, you know. Like not being a zombie or, you know, none of that. But because, you know, the whites are different from a lot of other zombies, you know. So
for sure.
Pretty sure on that. But then we, the first time I was on set was it a studio? No, it wasn't a studio. It was we went to Winterfell, which is a location.
Right.
It was Belfast. It's about 20 miles, 30 miles outside Belfast.
Home country, and, right? From Ireland?
Sorry?
You're from Ireland?
Northern Ireland, yeah.
Nice, so right at home.
Yeah. A lot of the sets are Northern Ireland, like the Iron Islands are in Northern Ireland, Winterfell. Most of the stuff that isn't desert is in Northern Ireland.
That's so cool.
But Winterfell, when I seen it, I was like, oh, wow, this is actually Winterfell.
Wow. I know they at least one section of castle wall built. What was it like? Like, was there, how much of the castle actually exists?
Well, they have the gate, towers, big wall. Mm-hmm. They have the courtyards that you see in the show. Do you have another courtyard? Yeah, there's a couple of courtyards inside. It's like proper.
That's amazing.
Built up set, you know.
That's so like, cool.
You know, it's Winterfell, obviously.
So like, it was, what, 11 weeks of night shooting? Is that right?
11 weeks, yeah.
Oh, my God, grueling.
Jesus, was it 55 nights?
Yeah.
We didn't do all the crew done the 55 nights.
Uh-huh.
But we've done 40 at least.
Oh, my God, still.
Right? So, yeah. So
what were the hours on that? Like, you start at, what, 9 p.m., stop at 5 a.m.?
We'd be at the studio for three. We had to hire an Airbnb, me and a few other friends.
Oh, interesting.
From Dublin, because we traveled up to Belfast, and we hired an Airbnb for just the duration of the shoot. And, for the night shoot, we were on days as well and different stuff. But that I can't talk about.
Yeah, don't tell us.
For the night shoots, we hired an Airbnb, and we stayed there Monday to Friday. We come back to Dublin for the weekend and back up Monday morning.
Wow.
So we'd start generally on a Monday, and every day of the week we'd be at the studio for 3 p.m. And we'd finish probably 4 or 5 a.m.
Wow.
So then, and if we were in Winterfell, it's about an hour and a half, about an hour and a half journey. Woo. Back to the studio.
That's rough.
Luckily enough, we were 10 minutes away from the studio, so it wasn't too bad. But we come back. We get back about 6 a.m., 7 a.m.
That's like my regular schedule.
Yeah. 7 a.m. and we'd have to be back at the studio by 3 p.m.
Wow.
It was fairly rough going. And it was like, Jesus, like, I know it's meant to look cold there with snow and all, but it was sub-zero.
Damn.
It was in the middle of winter when we were.
Like a little snippet from the Game Revealed documentary that they do. And
I haven't even seen that yet.
Oh, it's so good. You'll like it. It's really well done.
I wanted to, but I was too busy filming this movie that I'm doing now. And
good problem to have.
I just needed to watch the episode of Game of Thrones, you know, The Long Night or whatever. Yeah. So quickly, and I was like, oh no, I need to go to bed, and it's an hour and a half long. It's like, so I was kind of quickly skipping through. I haven't watched it properly yet.
Oh,
I will
no.
The weekend. You know, I've seen it, but I know what happens. And anyway,
yeah, it's one thing to be there, though. Another whole thing to see it produced and all put together.
That's
it's
great.
Like,
yeah.
Wow, it's amazing.
Because remember when we were lining up, the scene you see me when, you know, okay, did Dothraki go off? Like, you know, you can't see anything. It's total darkness, pitch black. And that's what they were. I know everybody's complaining about, well, dark. You know, but that's what they wanted. They wanted, like, if you're in the middle of the countryside, it's pitch black.
Yeah, you can't see anything.
Yeah, you can't. So,
and those little torches in the distance.
Yeah, exactly.
So disappearing.
Dothraki went off, start disappearing, and blah, and the hound was about 5 feet away from me. And it's not on it, but he went, fuck. They didn't show that, but you went fuck, which would have been great, you know, because that's what it was. It was like, okay, the lights are going out, there's nothing, and then we're like, kind of, what the hell
what
happened
the
there
fuck?
And
then it makes
then
perfect sense,
start coming back, and we're like,
yeah,
okay. And Yara comes back and he's kind of like,
yeah, like, this is not good, guys,
fucked. Yeah. So
Tormund was looking at Jorah when he rode back like, what the hell is going on?
So, yeah, even on set, we knew what it was going to look like. You know, at the final product, it was like, oh, this is going to be good, you know?
Yeah.
So, and actually, I have a T-shirt here. These, everybody that worked 5 nights or more got a T-shirt from HBO.
Nice!
It's a Jon Snow quote, actually. See it?
If I fall, don't bring me back.
Which is kind of fitting for the long night, because, you know, if I fall, we're kind of like asking the Night King, just don't bring us back.
Just don't resurrect me, yeah.
There you go.
That's so good, man.
So everybody that done 5 nights or more got a T-shirt there. Unfortunately, XXL, which is too big for me. I can't wear it.
I did 40 days of night shooting, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt. No, that's awesome, man. That's really cool. I love it. It just reminded me of those, you know, those shirts that they have.
Yeah. Oh, I also, when I was made into a white, because we were kind of, you know,
just
we make you into whites now for, you know, because they had their what's called masks, which are whites, which are really look scary. Like, you know, we'd be eating our food and you turn around and just a mask there.
Full facial prosthetic. You
know, yeah. It's like, what the fuck? Like, oh, you know, it'd be like, shit, I forgot there's all these dead people around, you know, too. But they made the people that weren't, you know, casted as whites, they make us into like fresh dead or something, you know, newly just, you know, you're just after dying, but
it's when, just a little, you know, eyeshadow and
you had the dead, which is looked sallow and stuff, but you know, I was fresh dead, so they get, there's a prosthetic that I wore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was worn right around my eye. So
that's sick.
So when they were taken after the end of the day, like I said, okay, that's going to be put in the bin, isn't it? So they went, yeah, there's a, don't mind if I keep it. I was like, oh, yeah, a bit of memorabilia from the show, you know.
Yeah.
Keepsake. So
that's awesome.
It looks like a piece of bacon, but you know,
that's
so I thought I'd come home drunk one night and stick it on a frying pan. And, yeah.
This tastes kind of weird.
Yeah, this is
rubbery. Check this out. Oops, sorry, one sec. I was in the Walking Dead experience, which was like a Walking Dead virtual reality type thing, and they made me up in makeup as well too. I got to keep the prosthetic from that.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Pretty gross. That was pretty fun. That's the best, being able to keep a souvenir from doing the work. It's so cool, man.
I kept a lot of souvenirs. The dirt they put on us. Oh, like, seriously, like every morning. See, the thing is, every morning we come back and we'd have to share it because we'd be caked in blood and, you know, like literally buckets of blood on us. And,
oh, man.
Like dirt and her hair mad. So we'd have to have a shower. Each one of us, like there was five of us staying in one apartment. We had two showers, so we'd have to get showered, dry up and go to bed. So we wouldn't get to bed till probably 9 a.m. And then
rough.
Up for, say, 2 p.m. to be back. So it was very tough going now.
Really
say.
Tough. Was, congratulations for pulling through and doing it, man. I admire the work ethic of everybody involved.
So fun too, you know.
So what other kinds of fun experiences did you have being on the set? Anything particularly that sticks out to you from shooting?
One sticks out, actually. The first night I was on set, they never film in sequence. Basically, they probably do one bit from later on and then they go back to do another bit. So,
definitely.
So my first time on set in season 8 was on episode 3 was we're running into Winterfell through the gates.
Fall back, right? Fall back.
Yeah. So we were all at the gates there and like Lyanna Mormont, she says, open the gates, and they open. We are just piling, running for our lives. So we piled in and the very first take, right, gates are open, you're running for your lives, go, boom, and we're off. And there was a guy in front of me, and he went that way, and I went, bang, into Lyanna Mormont.
Oh, no.
And I went, oh, fuck. Like,
so sorry.
We're all going full pelt, and bang, into her.
Yeah.
Or I think she had to stand there. I think it was too late or something. But she went flying and I went, oh shit. So I kept running. So the next time we reset, because we've done it a few times, obviously.
Right.
But we reset and I went down to the back of the, because I was up almost up at the front of the people running. I went down to the back of the queue running in because I said, they're probably looking, who is that idiot who ran into the cast? But nothing was said. So I went, okay, went back up at the front again.
That's
but
hilarious.
You can see me running in.
You knocked her harder than that giant did that slapped her.
Exactly. I knew she killed the giant. I thought she actually got squashed by the giant.
Oh, yeah.
When the giant knocked her at first, I was like, that's exactly what I did. No, except I'm not a giant. And I was like, oh, man.
They could have just used your footage.
Yeah. So, that was another experience.
That's so funny.
I thought I'd be like, first night on Game of Thrones and right off home, you're killing the cast.
Yeah, that's got to be rough. Like, imagine being hired to come on the show and kill a character that's one of your favorites or something like that.
Oh, yeah. She is. She's brilliant. I love her character on the
show. She's so powerful on screen. Is she that commanding? And does she have that type of presence in person?
Just a little girl, basically. Brilliant. Brilliant. Actually, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. I love the section of the game revealed with her interviewing her with about her, you know, filming. And she's like, I was hoping that either I'd end up on the Iron Throne, which is unlikely, but I really wanted to have a good death. You know,
she had a great death. Yeah. That stuck out because that was my first night on episode 3, and I was like, oh crap, I thought it was my last night as well. So, but yeah, everything was fine, you know. But I have a lot of friends that were working up there as well, so, you know, and they knew people as well, so I was safe, you know.
That's good.
I think. But there you go. That's one story of probably many that I can't think of now.
What is, so obviously shooting at night over so many days a week and such a long period must have been really taxing physically and mentally. What was the most difficult part of the shoot overall? What stands out to you as being like when you were like, oh God, this is like, it's just so intense?
Probably when the Night King came down and he was walking along, Jon Snow running after him.
Oh, that time. You know, everybody's rising.
There was a lot of piles of bodies and stuff like that, but it was snow, actually snowing for real. And real snow, it's not good for camera.
Oh, yeah.
The fake snow is good, but real snow, there'd be a glean off and it destroys shots and stuff. So it was snowing for real, and then they put this fake snow over the real snow and stuff. So we'd be kind of running away and stuff like that, and kind of, you know, dying or whatever. And we'd be like, and the piles of bodies were made out of like fiberglass stuff. So we'd be sliding and falling into these, like smashing heads and like, you know, injuring ourselves and all. Yeah. So yeah, it was just hard to keep on your feet basically. But the cold was because when we were all dead, we were lying down in this, like on a layer of snow under fake snow, and it just kept like the wildling, it kept seeping through. The wildlings had the best costumes because they were made fur. For the cold.
Yeah, you're right, made for the cold.
The Unsullied, like I felt sorry for them because they had not a lot on. They could wear thermals underneath, but they still didn't have a lot of layers.
Right. Oh yeah, they're like, and there's like nothing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and basically, like, you know, it was way below freezing, and they were there, like, you know, shivering, having to lie on this, which, you know, they got on and done it, brilliant. But,
oh my God.
You know, I kept joking, like, oh, this wildling costume, I'm too warm, you know, pretend to take it off. Maybe, you know, you fucker.
Until you're like, fuck you, John.
But I have to hand it to the Unsullied. They've done a good job, you know, really did.
Yeah, it's being able to deal with that. What type of time of year were you guys shooting that?
January, February, and March for that.
Of this year or of last year? Last year, of course, of course.
Was it January? Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Wow.
February, March, and April, I think it was.
Yeah, had to have been that.
February, March, April.
Yeah.
So winter time, basically.
Yeah, negative temperatures. That's crazy. Are we talking negative Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like, still really cold, though.
Freezing zero, so it'd be like, it'd go down to -2, -3. It's cold if you're doing nothing. You know?
Yeah, if you're just sitting there.
Like if you're
freezing.
Lying down on the ground.
I woke up this morning in Connecticut and I was cold and it was sunny outside.
Yeah. It's in the middle of the night, you know, with snow. Yeah. So, I was tough going. So, but it was good fun.
Definitely.
It was good when you were running because you're cool. You
know? Keeping that body temperature up. What kind of interesting things do you experience as an actor on the set that you don't, that the viewers don't get to describe or get to witness? Like, is there like people with boom microphones right over you when these scenes are going on?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like there's, like, you know, you use the scene, the action, the cool stuff or whatever, but, you know, just off screen there is a lot of people with, you know, clipboards or, you know, making sure your hair is all, you know, all this, like, you know, and in between takes, everyone's back on set, all normal clothes, all dead people around them, you know, people with normal clothes, you know, fixing hairs and, you know, throwing blood on you and then, you know, okay, you know, ready to shoot. So they all go away and it's back to, you know, Westeros again.
Damn,
you know?
That's so crazy.
But, yeah, you turn your head and then, you know, there's cranes and there's an ambulance and, you know, all this modern shit.
Gotta have an ambulance.
So,
yeah, the modern shit.
So it's, you know, yeah. So, yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. That's funny as well. Even on Vikings, you know, like, yeah, you're in a Viking village and, yeah, you just turn your head and, like, there's a truck there. And, you know, it's funny. You know.
Where do you guys shoot Vikings?
Oh, in Ireland as well. Nice. County Wicklow. It's just south of Dublin.
Nice, nice.
There's a big studio there. They built a Viking village there. And amazing. Like inside, there's a village. But there's a lot of beautiful locations as well. So everything on Vikings is shot in Ireland. About one or two scenes that were shot in Iceland. But
Iceland, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So
I got to go to Iceland. What a beautiful country.
Oh, I do. It's amazing. Yeah.
Gotta go. So did you have any other interactions with any other main cast members while you were on set?
Not really. Only Tormund, really.
Oh,
Tormund,
yeah. He was out in the thick of it with you guys, huh?
He was just in front of us. So, yeah, he's really a nice guy. So, yeah, yapping away with him and one or two others. Like, but most of them, they were doing their thing elsewhere and stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so yes, mostly Tormund. Who else? Oh, the Hound. We were talking to the Hound as well.
That's so cool.
He was fairly cool. Yeah, he's very tall as well.
Yeah, he's like 6'6" or so.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, wow, he is really big. Because sometimes you see people on screen and it's like, wow, he's my height. Yeah. And you think they're huge.
Yeah, you can't tell perspective.
Yeah. So
like they use like low camera angles on Jon Snow because he's like 5'8" to make him look taller than he is.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I was surprised at how small he was. I was like, wow, he's even smaller than me.
How tall are you?
I'm not quite sure, actually. 5'7", I think.
Yeah, that's not
5'6" or 7". It's small, but no. Well, I still get a ribbing off my friends, it's a little Viking,
So what kind of other kind of experiences are coming to mind from your shoot?
Actually, one thing that's popped into my head there was there does be a lot of cameos on Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, that's true.
For the scene where we're lining up or whatever, for that night, we spent the night lining up and Dothraki going off or whatever, but I don't know if you've ever heard of Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
I don't think so. Who's that?
She's a smother on the dance floor. But she's a pop star. And anyway, but she was in that night, but she's sitting nowhere.
Nice.
She was in the front row with her husband or something. But
there's been a lot of good musical cameos. Mastodon, the metal band, was in there at Hard Home, and Sigur Rós.
Sigur Rós as well. Yeah, they played the wedding. Oh,
Red Wedding or Joffrey's Wedding. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then a couple guys from Coldplay and Ed Sheeran. A lot of musical cameos.
Oh, dear, yeah. Ed
Sheeran. You saw that?
That should have been just cut out. Yeah. I think there was some other band when we were there, and I can't remember the band. It could be Snow Patrol. Did you ever hear of them?
Oh, Snow Patrol. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It could have been them. No, I could be totally wrong. It could be some similar band like that. It's not my type of music. So, but they were all sitting behind us. And we were kind of like, did you ever hear that band? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, jeez, they're terrible, aren't they? And they're over here.
They're just sitting right there.
This is in the holding area, we relax or whatever in between shoots. But we're like,
we're in that band.
Jeez, that band are terrible, aren't they? They didn't think we knew who they were. We were
right.
That's that band. But
what kind of music do you listen to?
Sorry?
What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to anything and everything, but mostly heavy metal.
Nice, nice. Ever hear of Symphony X?
Yeah, I've heard of
them. Nice, yeah. They're like a mixture of metal and symphonic music with strings.
Yeah, metal-y stuff as well,
nice. I like those guys.
I played in a metal band actually for years.
Would you play guitar?
Sorry?
Play guitar or bass or drums?
No, I actually played folk instruments in the band.
Oh, no way. That's so cool.
Folk metal band. Yeah.
I've actually heard some really cool stuff like that. So I can imagine imagine it was a lot of fun.
Well, we were fairly popular in certain places. Russia, of all places, we were fairly popular.
Interesting.
I went on a few tours there. South America. Don't know why.
Oh, really? South America too? Wow, that's cool, man.
So we're probably getting off topic here now.
That's all good.
Talking about my band.
Anything else you want to talk about your experience?
It's hard because I don't know what to say because there's a lot that I can't say.
Right.
If you know what I mean? Because there's a lot coming up that I'm still in that hasn't been aired yet.
Right.
So, I'm just interested in hearing what other people think of the episode, because when we were filming it, I was like, just wondering in my head what things are going to look like.
Right.
What's this going to look like on screen? What's this going to be like? Mm-hmm. Or how's this going to work? And
So, but, were you a fan of the show before being on it?
I was. Well, before being on it, I was. But to be honest, I didn't start watching it really till season three. Mm. Actually, till the Red Wedding. I watched it, season one first. So I watched that and went, it's like a kind of medieval soap opera. So I was like, kind of, and there's too many characters at that time because I didn't read the books or anything at that time. Funnily enough, I start reading the first book on Game of Thrones.
Nice.
I start reading Game of Thrones on Game of Thrones.
So cool.
In between takes. There's a lot of downtime. So
perfect thing to
book
do.
Book is always great. But so I watched the first season and I was like, I'll get back. Never went back to it, but the internet exploded with the Red Wedding.
Oh yeah!
So I went like, I said, okay, I'm obviously missing something here. Mm-hmm. If the internet is just going bizarre about it, so I went rewatched and then I said, no, actually, this is good because I started getting to know the characters and I got hooked.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
I started season four is when I started too.
Oh really?
Yeah. So considering you were a fan of the show, how did you think about the plot developments in this episode? Were you surprised that Arya ended up doing the deed and killing the Night King?
I was actually, yeah. When I kind of found out, like we weren't really told, but
Right.
That was a kind of closed set where that happened. But
I was wondering about that. Like, how much do you guys know about the script? Yeah. You know, I'm sure they have to keep certain things secret, especially big things like that. Closed set, like you mentioned.
Yeah. Because they try to keep things separate. But See, I wasn't sure because when we were filming, I thought, because Jon Snow was running after the Night King that time. Mm-hmm. And we were looking at it because we were all in the field. Well, they're doing the scene, and I say, did he kill him or what? And because then we had the animation scene and all, where just everyone just drops like, right, these are all gone. Boom. And it was meant to be like a wave, like spreading out,
They did that. They did that really well. Actually, I could see the wave going out and out. Yeah. And
so they tried that, and it was. Ticket, okay, it wasn't Jon Snow because he didn't get near them.
Oh, so you're imagining it like, huh.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, who could it be? And blah, blah, blah. So, we put two and two together and came up with that kind of thing.
That's so crazy. So,
and I had no idea what was going on in the crypts.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't part of that at all, But we keep it tight lipped because, I think, what was it in. Wanted to see Jon Snow, when he died, someone leaked that. I'm in the next season with him or whatever.
They
got into a lot of trouble, yeah.
Damn, I bet.
Because that's a major spoiler.
Yeah, major spoiler.
Jon Snow's back or whatever, yeah.
I remember seeing an interview with him where he said he got pulled over by a cop. Did you see that?
No.
The cop comes up to the window of his car and he's like, you know how fast you're going? He knows he's speeding. And the cop tells him, if you tell me if you live, I'll let you go.
All right.
And so he thinks about it for a couple seconds. He's like, I'm coming back next season. He told the cop. Kit Harington admits to telling the cop. Hilarious.
And the cop mustn't have told anyone else. Yeah. He must have been a good cop.
Yeah. Aside from that little abuse of power, it sounds like a pretty good cop to me.
I'd have taken the fine and say, no, HBO will have my bloody... Assume we report him that fine.
He must have been going really fast. That fine must have been huge. It's like jail time speeds or something that. So were you surprised that we didn't lose more main characters?
I was initially, but I know on the internet, people are saying, everyone's going to die and this, that. And I'm always thinking wow, they're not they're going to be surprised how few actually do die.
Yeah,
a few main characters, and none of the big, John or Danny,
Tyrion,
none of the big ones didn't.
Tormund.
I don't know. Yeah, I think they should have probably knocked one off.
Yeah, I agree.
Those morbid people happy,
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they killed her. That kind of thing.
Exactly.
The Red Wedding, they just killed everybody.
That's
what made it brilliant.
Exactly. It's weird to say. I'm almost disappointed that we didn't lose another one of our favorite characters. I kind of feel let down that we didn't, that they didn't hurt us more. I keep saying. So funny, man.
they have their reasons for doing that, I suppose.
But it does make perfect sense that Arya was the one that killed the Night King, considering that she, you know, she serves the many-faced god, and the Night King was reversing the many-faced god's work, reanimating people that the god of death basically, is, you know, so it's very fitting.
Also, Bran gave her the knife that killed
him. Right at that same spot, too, sitting in that same place.
Yeah, I don't know if he's seen or, you know, I don't even know if it'll be revealed, you know.
Yeah.
Because he went on his...
Where'd he go? Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know.
You don't have to tell us, but do you know?
I have actually no idea, so...
Oh, you have no idea also? Okay, cool.
I don't know what's that scenario is.
That's so funny. Yeah, I was wondering, like, what is he doing? What is he doing this whole time?
Come back. Stop wimping out on everybody. Everybody's out there fighting for their lives. You're wimping out now.
Yeah. How about any other major plot points that you thought were interesting or worth talking about from this episode that you liked?
This episode.
Got Theon being forgiven, dying, Beric dying.
Theon was a big one for me, actually, because, going for it. Like, it went beyond kind of redemption, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
After all he'd done, like, he basically laid his life down for them after taking so much from the Starks, you know?
Yeah, it was really impactful for me. We first, he got his forgiveness from Sansa after helping her escape from Winterfell. Then Jon, you know, he forgave him for what he could. Then he saved Yara and got her forgiveness as well. And now Bran is like finishing off everything.
Yeah.
And
everybody
that's Bran's alive that could forgive him.
Yeah. No, I really, really, that was one of the best parts, in my opinion, of that episode. It's like the battle, great, whatever. But, you know, story-wise, I thought that was really brilliant.
Yeah.
So
it was also very fitting for Jorah to die protecting his beloved Khaleesi.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought that was very emotionally effective. The way that Danny's crying, you know, is just heartbreaking, even as a viewer.
I hated it because he's actually one of my favorite characters on the show. So,
what a voice that guy has.
Don't do that. Bring it back.
Yeah. Did you see the footage of Drogon flying with all the whites crawling all over him yet? Have you seen that?
Yeah. I remember that being filmed. Well, I remember there was a pretend. Okay, there's a dragon here. These are all trying to clamber on. Yeah, I remember that scene. Yeah, you know, where we're pretend to clamber on.
That's crazy.
Stuff like that. Yeah, so it was all mostly SFX kind of stuff. But
did they have like some type of structure that people were climbing on?
Yeah,
or?
It's mostly kind of green screen-y type stuff.
Uh-huh.
It was an open field where all the bodies in Winterfell there, but I'm just trying to think what was there. I think they had a bit of a structure there that you're trying to
climb
kind of
on, but it's just all covered in green screen, I bet.
Yeah, so then it obviously goes back into post-production where they kind of do the magic, dragon put whites onto it and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, that looked cool, you know.
Oh man, what a moment. I was so shocked that happened, you know. Danny lands with Drogon and saves Jon, and I'm like, get out of there, you know, take back to the skies, what are you doing? There's a shot like looking over Danny's shoulder from the front, and she's watching Jon go off, and you can see in the background all these whites creeping up on her.
Man, I remember that being shot and going, oh no, another one is gonna go, you know, because I wasn't sure. I still wasn't sure until the actual episode that dragon went or not.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm really glad.
Obviously they don't have dragons on set. That's all.
Yeah,
done
exactly. What was it like seeing Drogon flying around?
So I was kind of like thinking, yo, oh crap, that's another dragon bloody gone. You know,
How about the amazing special effects work that they did with Viserion with his face all ripped apart?
Oh yeah.
They blew. Yeah, they built his face and had flames coming out so it would match way that they came out of like the holes of his missing face. Just incredible. This episode visually was beautiful. So many.
And I still have to watch it again. I watched it in not so great copy, so I have to watch it in a higher format, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. I will this weekend with a few beers. I'll enjoy it. They'll probably watch it twice.
You earned
twice
it.
In a row,
they wanted it to be dark, but apparently the compression that HBO used to broadcast it made it even darker. And
did it?
What they released a statement saying that the compression made it actually even darker than they intended it. Imagine that, working for all these months, doing all this stuff, getting everything perfect. And then you run it to go live and it runs through compression and changes everything. Yeah. So disappointing, you know.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, it didn't ruin it for me.
Blu-ray. I reckon it'll look the way it's meant to look on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's what they said.
That's right. They'll be getting all the box sets. So.
Yep. From here on out, too, all the episodes are, what, about an hour and a half long, 80 minutes or so?
Yeah, 70-something, isn't it?
Yeah, 78, yeah,
The third one was the longest. That was 82 or 83. Mm-hmm. I think the rest are 70 or something. That's 78 or 70-something minutes.
Oh, man, and how cool. Now you get to say that you were part of the longest battle sequence in cinematic history.
That's pretty cool, all right.
Yeah. Also, you could say...
I could say it, but now that I'm seeing on screen, it's like, yeah, well... There I am.
Yeah, right. You don't even need to say it. There you are.
Yeah, like that scene. I didn't even know that was being filmed because they had a load of about 100 people there, mm-hmm. and they told about say 80 to go back to the holding tent. You know, make a cup of tea, whatever, relax. And they said, oh, okay, you 20 stay here, and they start setting up cameras around us. So I'm like, okay, this is cool, you know. Going to get a bit of screen time here, but what we were filming was the actual attack as well. It's kind of the tidal wave coming over. I put 100% into that, and you know, I was kind of got dizzy because of the scream and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
but so the cameraman even went like that to me, so I went, I'm definitely, because they start focusing in on me, so I went, I'm definitely in on this, but it wasn't even shown that.
Damn,
like that. So that part, the part that I'm on there, like I didn't even realize I was being filmed there.
Wow.
I remember with Tormund and the other guy, like I remember camera panning, you could see that, mm-hmm. first, and then, but then the one focuses it in on me. I had no idea that was even on me. a lot of guys have been on the show for a couple of seasons. They're saying, like, sometimes you think you're straight on camera and you're not there. You don't even realize, and then bing, your full face is on camera. So it's like, you know, whatever magic they do, like,
yeah, it's got to be, you know, really interesting.
There, you know, you never know until you see yourself on screen. You don't know
exactly, because you're on set, you're not seeing through the camera, you don't know what they're looking at. You see it pointing in that general direction. It could be zoomed in on your face,
something behind you.
It's just such a such an interesting experience. You know, being in a...
That's good fun.
So how organized was it? You say they were on point with, like, everything where it's supposed to be, when it's supposed to be.
Yeah, 100%.
That's amazing, especially for something so huge.
Like, hundreds of people. Like, yeah. It's just one big machine, basically.
It was, like, 750 people on set, something like that.
Yeah, from carpenters right to the cameraman to... producers, mm-hmm. directors, SFX man, yeah, just everybody there. It's amazing.
Did you notice all the guys carrying the big the body piles? They made casts of the body piles, and they had to move them from location to location whenever they wanted to shoot in a different spot.
Yeah, they moved them around.
Imagine being one of those guys.
One thing I was disappointed with was the body pile inside Winterfell that Tormund was on. That was absolutely massive. Like, that was a massive, that was like, geez, 15 feet high.
Oh, wow.
Pile, okay. And like, I'm down the bottom, clambering up, just then we all deanimate. But on screen, it doesn't look that big. It just looks like, you know, a mound of like about 5-6 feet high.
Right. But
that's why I was like, oh no, it looked better than real life.
Like, you just can't tell how huge it is in real life.
Yeah, it looked like when Jon Snow came out with, you know, the Battle of the Bastards, when he came out with that body. That's what it looked like.
That's amazing. Yeah. That was an improvised scene too, huh? From what I hear.
I have a few friends that are on that as well.
Cool.
That were on that body pile, and you could see them, you know. So a few friends were Vikings, actually.
Nice.
Some Game of Thrones, so cool. There you go. Just check the time.
Sure.
I'll be up early again for tomorrow.
You got a long day ahead of you, man.
Funnily enough, the AD that worked on Game of Thrones for that episode is actually ADing for this movie.
Oh, really?
As well. So,
perfect.
Yeah. So they kind of go between a lot of productions in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Country, sure.
So,
probably a tight-knit production community, too. They're like, we need to do this, get people moving around all over the place. And that's awesome.
They finish something, they move on to something else, or, you know, go back to something.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. Well, we can wrap it up. I know you've had a long day shooting today, and you've got another long one ahead of you tomorrow. Can't thank you enough for being here, John. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
It's a pleasure. You know. And it is. How people find it interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow.
Sure they will. And another, again, I want to congratulate you on being part of such an epic experience and production. And this is something that's going to be remembered for years and years and years to come. And I hope you feel a sense of satisfaction from being able to be a part of it.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. I remember it anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
It's locked in there in the memory banks.
All right. Well, I guess we'll let you go. But thank you again so much for being here. It's been great to meet you and talking with you.
No problem.
And if you want to come back on at any point in the rest of the season.
Maybe at the end of it.
Sure.
After the final episode.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come back on if you'd like to.
Yep.
Always happy to have you on.
I'd like to see what people's thoughts are, you know, what your thoughts are on the actual ending of the show.
Yeah, I'm really nervous to see what they do. Sure. Well, we'll look forward to having you back on after episode 6 then.
Well, this was easier than I thought, so
perfect.
I could come back whenever.
Yeah, so. Great. Yeah, I just want to make it nice and easy for you. Perfect.
Make a date.
Yeah, please make it more episodes.
Right. Rachel, fly off and get some sleep, actually.
All right. Sounds good, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I know
you are very welcome. Hope you get some good rest and great. Best of luck with shooting your film that you're working on right now.
All right. No problem.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you soon, John.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, brother. All right. That's our show. A huge thank you to John Faye, survivor of the Battle of Winterfell, for joining us today. Really great meeting you, man, and congratulations for being on such a cool show and having such a great opportunity. Make sure to look for John in the upcoming film The Green Knight, with a K, which also features the actress who played Lady Lyza Arryn on Game of Thrones. Another huge thank you to John Bailey, the epic voice guy from the Emmy-nominated Honest Trailers, for announcing our show. If you'd like to donate or subscribe to support us, you can always go to paypal.me/gompodcast or patreon.com/gompodcast to donate an amount of your choosing. There are links to both at gameofmicrophones.com. Doing some online shopping? Go to gameofmicrophones.com and click on our link to Amazon. As an Amazon associate, we earn from qualifying purchases. Any contribution you make helps, and you can help secure the continued existence of Game of Microphones. We'd like to thank our patrons, Sir Matthew of House Rep, Lady Lucy of House Roberts, Lady Candace of House Twos, Lady Terry of House Theodore, Lord Jeff of House Allen, Sirenicide, Lord John of House Grills, Luke the Low Duke, Lord Jeremiah of House Carpenter, Taro Spirit, and Lord Bryson of House Wolf. And also, Robert Misievich. Thank you guys so much for your support and your patronage. We love you. And also, make sure to check out Sirenicide, the serialized horror drama podcast featuring me and Archmaester Stitches. Just go to Sirenicide.com and download it wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're in the Portland, Oregon area, check out Lord Travis's new meadery, Weird Leather and Mead, spelled a little weird too, W-Y-R-D. Just go to weirdleatherandmead.com and check it out. Or if you're in Milwaukee, Portland, Oregon area, go check it out in person. It's really awesome, guys. They're taking pre-orders for mead starting really soon too, so get ready for that. You can hear Kristen, Jason, and other Podcastica hosts covering Game of Thrones Season 8 over at House Podcastica. They've released a new episode covering Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 4, The Long Night. You can find that at housepodcastica.com or by searching for House Podcastica on your favorite podcast platform. Next up, we'll be releasing our deep dive on the Battle of Winterfell, The Long Night, so pay attention for that within the next day or so. If you'd like to call us, you can always reach us at 813-563-3739. That's 813-JOFFREY. If you'd like to write in, you can email us at ravens@gameofmicrophones.com. Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/gompodcast. Impslap! You can also listen to Game of Microphones on YouTube, BitChute, and Steemit. Just search for Game of Microphones to find our channel. Likes, comments, and shares are appreciated. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Minds at gompodcast. And we're on Tumblr, too, at Game of Microphones. All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Like literally buckets of blood on us,
oh,
like doors and her hair matted.